And listening to Jack Hibbs this morning, who's really been a leader in California. They're actually trying to recall the governor there because they're trying to. Yeah. And unashamedly said, that's unfortunately, that's what we have to do when we're trying to shut down the church. And when we're when you've got something like communism raising, and it's all against his church. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, as believers, Lord, we love the unbeliever. We ask that you bring them to you, Lord. We prayed in prayer this morning. You raise up Apostle Paul's and people, the most unlikely people, Father God, the most unlikely heathenistic, God-hating people would come to you in this day, in this hour, that would rock this nation like Apostle Paul did. One man changing the course of that area, of that known world at that time, who was a God-hater and came to you. Father, we thank you that you will raise up people like that in the government, in Jesus' name, the House and the Senate. Raise them up, Father God. People that will be born again and come to you. Father God, in Hollywood, raise up Apostle Paul's and Paulette's. As we said, raise up those, Father God, that will be a beacon of light and truth for you, Father God. We thank you for that, God. In the media, raise up people, Father God, God-fearing people, Father God, that can shake this country. Lord, we thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for answering that prayer. And Father, for our president, Lord, we thank you for touching him, strengthening him. Come on, saints. Lord, thank you for supernaturally strengthening him. Father God, I pray that you would visit him in the nighttime. Lord, if Jesus, I don't know where he is with you, but I pray that you would visit him, that you would draw closer to him. Lord, that he would rely on you like never before, Jesus. Father, that those are around him, that you protect them, Lord, putting good minds, good voices in the cabinet around him. Lord, if there's any adjustments that need to be made there, make it, Lord. We pray that you bless him, protect his life in Jesus' name. Protect his life, Lord. We thank you for supernatural boldness upon President Trump and upon his your people, Lord, around this nation. Supernatural boldness as we stand up for truth and righteousness. And we thank you for that, Lord. For such a time as this, as the church, for such a time as this, thank you for the church, Lord. We're living in epic times, Lord. Thank you for the church arising. Great exploits for the kingdom of God. Supernatural exploits. Strengthened, emboldened. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen.
Amen, God.
Actually, there I'm on. I must have pushed it the wrong way back. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your time. Praise God. I said take your time and it shut everybody down. You're so defensive. Come on. I actually meant that. Well, how are you this morning? I want, like I said last week, let's stop thinking church building, and think God's living room. People of God. Amen. Yes. I don't know. Some people should leave them on. Praise the Lord. Last week we had, maybe tone me down just a tad. It probably sounds good out there, but I'm getting a, no. Last week we read a scripture, and there was such an anointing and an emotion with it. It was just powerful. Out of 1 Corinthians. And yet if it takes a special anointing and emotion to keep something strong with you and on you and in you, then we're just going to do this as believers. I want you to turn. I want to just do a reminder before we get any further in today's service. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. And you may not like this, but I'm going to ask you to stand up one more time. That's good exercise. Some of you complained about your midriff. Man, that's one of the best things you can do. You think this is bad? Go to the Catholic Church. I don't want to hear no whining. And these are comfortable, too. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 30. Everybody there, let's read this together. And I want you to take a minute. I want you to preach with me. I want you to say this verse, and I want you to say it loud enough that your neighbor can hear you, and I want you to turn around and tell each other this verse. Would you do that? Can we do that? Look at y'all. You're not in God's living room. You're in church. Amen. Hey, read it with me. Let's read this together. Turn around. You can do this. Turn around, man. Talk to each other. Look at somebody else. Don't look at me. Look somewhere else. Look at each other. Look at your wife. Let's read this together. Let's remind one another. Verse 30 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Ready? Everybody's going to have different translations, so you don't have to try to read in unison. Just read it steady, authoritatively over yourself and those around you. Come on, people. Ready? Go. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness, sanctification and redemption. One more time. Now turn around somebody else. One more time. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Bunch of Methodists? I guess we'll do it again. Here we go. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There we go. Come on. Now I want you to remember this. And last week, some of you caught this for the first time. You didn't have anything to do with this other than receive. He made, in Christ Jesus, He made unto us, through Him, through His work, wisdom and righteousness. If ever we need wisdom, it's now. You better know who you are. That's righteousness. Sanctification. We are not of this world. We are a... You remember what Peter said? Holy nation? A peculiar people? A chosen generation? Preach to each other. Tell each other about it. Sanctification and redemption. Shout it out with me. I was bought with a price. I don't belong to me anymore. Paid for in blood. I'm His. Would you lift your hands all over the room today? Hallelujah. I love that song. Even when it doesn't feel like it, you're still working. Even when I can't see it, you're still working. Philippians 2:13, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Turn to your neighbor and tell him. Preach to him. Say, He's working in me. Come on, tell him. I mean it. He's working in me. Now tell them, He's working in you. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All over the room, lift your hands one more time. He is my wisdom, my righteousness. Come on, my wisdom and my righteousness. Sanctification and redemption. Hallelujah. Well, I'm not going to continue to turn the Model T crank. I guess we'll just sit down unless you want to shout a minute. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, what another strange week in paradise, right? I've been all over the place. I've worn a mask anywhere. Nobody stopped me, bothered me. You could see a few wanted to. And I just smiled the biggest dumb cowboy grin I could pull off. And they backed off. And you're seeing more and more people. It's so weird because you got all these signs. It's like they're putting the pressure on. Somebody is. But I love our area because, I mean, there's a lot of outsiders that don't know they're scared. I'm not mocking them at all. But there's a lot of good old Arizonans that are saying, you know what, I think I've had enough. And we need to be emboldened. It's so weird because everywhere you pull up now, use exact change due to a shortage of coins in the federal. Give them. Say, I don't have change. And watch them give you change back readily. Watch them do it. We've done it. Just smile and your biggest, dumbest, happiest Jesus grin and just walk through the door. I believe if more people would do it, that little fear thing in the background, what if? You need to tell the what if to go lay down. All my years cowboying, we didn't let a dog around the fire where we were eating. Get out of the kitchen. It didn't matter if it was a fire in the middle of nowhere. How about it, Ibby? Right here, right now is the kitchen. Go lay down. Get in the truck. You know, if we just tell that what if thing, we really need people. You mentioned Jack Hibbs. Where'd you go, Chad? Oh, he had to leave. He mentioned Jack Hibbs and the other guy that was interviewed, two pastors that are standing. And these are not, it's easy for me in Chino Valley where we have little to no resistance. I mean, the signs are plastered all over every business and it's like people are almost relieved. They see you come in and you can see them tense up. And then you just smile and go about your business and you can see the relief on their faces as they take a moment. Have you seen it? I was in Home Depot yesterday for the 80th time this week. And the guy behind the counter, he looked at me and he goes, do you mind? This is what's going on. Do you mind if I pull my mask down a minute while I'm serving you? He wanted to. I said, are you kidding me? Did I look like I care? He goes, nice young kid. He goes, thank you. And he looked around, pulled that thing down. You could see the bags under his eyes. You know, my boy Levi's going through it. The little gal down here at the Dollar General. I'm the little Mexican girl. What? She is the most huggable little thing. Needs Jesus. And but what a sweetheart. And it seems like I always get caught with somebody in line or something, but I'd love to see her from her and her boyfriend. Yeah, she is. And, you know, we chatted about it and what was going on, but it seems like no matter where you go. So we don't know where all this is going, but I'll tell you what, they're going to amp it up, and you need to be prepared. You need to be aware. I had a few thoughts that I wrote down. And then I'm not going to dwell much on this. You know, it's funny because I got some people a little mad at me. You need to just preach Jesus. And then I got other people that say, and I understand what they mean. I'm not mocking them. That's a pure heart. I understand. It's that tender and sensitive, like let's don't get too far over here. I got it. But we don't need to use that as an excuse either to not say, listen, the Word of God is about the real world that we live in every day. It affects where we're at. It should. And, you know, and I also got people that are like upset because I don't talk enough about the other. I got several couples that, you know, when I started getting back into the Word, they evaporated because they wanted to hear somebody pound on people. you know, in this whole process. Well, I'm not going to do that either. I'm going to do what I feel like the Lord wants me to do, and, you know, we'll just keep doing that, I guess. I do want to say this, though. This is just some things. The last week, how many are just almost overwhelmed with information? It's good to be informed. Maybe I can provide just a little bit of clarity. I'm not sure I'm totally clear, but I'm starting to get a better picture. Here's what I wrote down. It's not about mask or coronavirus. It's not about all the lies of systemic racism, riots by Marxist communist groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa. We're all aware of them now. We all know who they are. We know how close to home they are. It's not even totally about our election, left versus right, and the politics. While we are being mesmerized by the fear tactics of COVID-19, face masks, which, by the way, removes smiles, removes personality, removes human emotion. Proven ineffective. Leading medical authorities, the worldwide, are being shut down, silenced. You want to talk about systemic anything? Systematic silencing of the truth. While we're being mesmerized by the fear of tactics of COVID-19, face masks, the decimation of our civil liberties, our eyes are not on the ball. Is there a place for resisting those things? Yeah, but that's on the lower immediate scale of things. Keep your eye on the ball. It's not about Trump versus the left, but rather a man, godly or not, seeing, recognizing a deep, sinister plot to remove, by hook or crook, any remaining semblance of individual freedoms. How many were here last week, the week before, I think it was, when I read the article from Forbes magazine, which straight up says, this is one of their big editors at Forbes magazine. Did I say the right? Yeah, editor. One of their leading editors of Forbes magazine. Article that he wrote, which, by the way, is owned by the Chinese government now. Forbes. In there said that it was irresponsible behavior for Americans to study for themselves. I'm serious. I can show you the article. To study for themselves, to ferret out what they would eventually arrive at as the truth for themselves, and to make decisions for themselves and live their lives out based on those truths, that was irresponsible, especially when it came to science, that we ought to leave science and medicine that we ought to follow and obey, adhere the consensus of the experts, true scientists, because we're not qualified. We are not science. We're not educated. This stuff is insane. It is demonic. That's why I read 2 Timothy 2:15, which says, study to show yourself approved. Now, I understand the context. It's the Word of God, who you are in Christ. But let me tell you something. Everything about who He is light, life, and freedom. And when the gospel is preached, nations are set free. God is interested in our nations. He is the one who spoke through the prophet and said, if my people, He's interested in us being salt. Heaven doesn't need salt and light. This planet needs it now. This is for the here and now. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their land. He's interested in your country, your state, your land, your place of dwelling, your future, your children. And when the gospel is preached, there is always a confrontation with those who choose to restrict personal God-given freedoms. We've watched this happen again and again through history. And that's why Marxists do their best to destroy history, remove it from our schools, remove it from all of our different educational institutions, remove it from press, remove it from everything, even to the monuments. You notice they're not just tearing down racists anymore. They want to tear down all of them. Thank God for new executive orders and Trump's willingness to stand in the way and say, no, you don't. Anyway, I didn't mean to even get that far in it. So, this is not about Trump versus the left, but rather a man, godly or not, and I believe that he is definitely being used by God, no doubt. Recognizing a deep, sinister plot to remove by hook or crook any remaining semblance of individual freedoms, God-given freedoms, independence from tyranny. These freedoms being consumed and trampled by a group of very wealthy people with a lot of power. Trump said in a recent press release, he said, you'll not be seeing me much after this. He said, there are some very wealthy, powerful people that are very unhappy with me. That should speak volumes to you. If your head isn't in the sand, we're sure we are no longer dealing with Democrats or left-wing groups or left-wing, left-bent party, but out-and-out communist Marxists who hate America. They hate our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. They hate Christianity because it represents all of those things and is where it is the most strongly rooted. But having said that, once again, but not even these Marxists are what it's all about. Or most of them, if not all of them, are simply useful idiots of partially concealed power figures on the world scene that have craftily planned these events for many years. Keep your eyes on the ball. These same people that I'm referring to, we only know the ones that have been so wise in their own eyes, they've been a little stupid in that they've let their hand be seen. So we can all repeat them together. Bill Gates, the Clintons, Soros, and a handful of others. But they're just the visible ones. Obama was a puppet. He couldn't. You take a teleprompter from him. Anyway, these same people own our press, our newspapers, magazines, practically all of social media, much of our sports, the arts, movie industry, and continue to drive the narrative of disaster and fear. A fearful people are easily manipulated. I look around the different stores that I've been to in shock. Faceless, nameless, smileless, fearful, manipulated people stand here. Or you're irresponsible. You're getting somebody sick. Man, I'm a bull in a china cloth. I'm all over the place. You make me stand there. I'll stand where I want to. And that's rebellious. Okay. Pray for me. Maybe you ought to be a little less whatever. While they have us mesmerized with all of these things, feigning concern for our health. It's not conspiracy theory anymore. The chip is real. It monitors your brain waves, your heartbeat, pulse. It connects emotions. It's intricately tied like a supercomputer to your every activity, your movements. What they want to do is tie it to your money. Best way they can do that is through what they have done through a plandemic. Keep your eye on the ball. It's not about COVID, face mask, Antifa, all this. All this is a smoke screen to keep you over here consumed. Well, what they're really interested in is a catastrophic shift in global power. Nancy Pelosi, within minutes, redacted a lot of what was in the bill she presented to Congress. It has not gone away. It was reworded within 24 hours and introduced. She spoke openly in the name of stimulus help and making it more, facilitating the public more, making it more, more easy to get to people and to use, and spoke of the need to digitize utterly our monetary system and spoke of the digital dollar. This is in the bill, and digital wallet. All of these things connected together, they're all tied together. What they would like to do is forced vaccination, not for your health, but for control. Not just America. The reason America is being challenged more than any other place right now is because Christians stand in the way. Freedom is a problem for them. It's not about the election, left versus right politics. While we're being mesmerized by all of these things, keep your eye on the ball. They're looking for a catastrophic shift in power and a catastrophic shift in our money system, which is all the same. They're openly talking about a COVID passport. They're openly talking about, in the name of health. Right now, if you take over $10,000 out of a bank, they're instantly alerted. So, before I sound like I'm all doomsday, none of this is for sure. There are a lot of people resisting and fighting back. And when Brother Chad prayed for President Trump, I pray that the only time that you're praying for him with passion and power is not in here. Jesus said, watch and pray. We talked about that weeks ago. That means eyes wide open. We don't see anywhere in Scripture where we just hope and pray. You know, just I'm just a hoping and a praying. No. Pray in faith, believing. Amen? I don't know, for what it's worth. Is that all right? Okay. Turn with me to Psalm 62. You feel a little overwhelmed? Psalm 61, actually. I'm going to read a few verses from you and just encourage you in the Lord. And then we'll see if I get back to some of the other stuff I was wanting to share with you last week. Yes, sir. There is, at 5:30. I don't know if we'll continue. We're going to talk about that at night. Because we said that, we had a few people from the outside, I almost canceled it. I know for a lot of people this has been a heavy week. But we will go ahead and meet here tonight. I know Jessie Ann, I wanted her to give us an update on some of the things, good things that she'd heard at the last Oath Keepers meeting. I was not able to make it again. My intention is to make it, right? You too. I just want to go see. At any rate, some good stuff out of there in reference to what could be happening. Listen, the next few months, weeks, there is the very real potential. So you may not be here tonight for everything to shift. Catastrophically, our monetary system. It's not just a few wild-eyed conspiracy theorists now. It's guys in suits that have been in the know for years that are saying, if these things go the direction that we believe, your cash, when they decide to end current currency, it will not happen gradually. It's already happening in other nations right now. The model is already being set forward. And in those nations, India was one, parts of Europe, where they gave a very short window of for people to make adjustments. The poor had nowhere to go, and they did the turn like that. They'd love to do that here. This is not fear-mongering. This is, awake thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. God will give you light. People, he provides for his own. But we have to cooperate. We can't just sit on our hands or with our heads in the sand. We have to be watching and listening, and I know that God will. You know, I rely on some people around me. I don't rely on them. I don't expect their every response or answer to always be true, but I'm putting feelers out because I don't know a lot about the economy. I don't know a lot about investing. I don't know a lot about, you know, people talk about making sure you get your money out, your cash into hard assets and into hard currency and whatever that is. But I'm starting to realize I'm hearing this coming up over and over and over again. And I'm not a fool, neither are you. For Christ has been made unto you wisdom. Come on, are you here today?
Yeah.
Righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So we need to watch as we pray. Listen to what the Holy Spirit's saying. Be around good counsel. Be informed. There are people saying that you need to be ready. You need to have a source for water or know somebody that does. That's shocking. Food. An ability to protect yourself. I said, because there are some adjustments that could take place. They're already talking about arrogantly the other side. About a peaceful transition in the White House. It's in the news right now, mainstream. A peaceful transition because Trump will not want to go. In the background, as I'm listening to all this, I'm hearing all the chatter all across the country, honed in right now on Nevada. The pushing of paper ballots. Ballot harvesting. And I forgot there's a third one. You hear all this stuff going on in the background in the name, all of this being pushed because of COVID. And they're going to do everything they can. There was another one. I'm trying to think. Huh? I said mail-in, ballot harvesting, the way they... Oh, and signatures. Nancy Pelosi's... Part of her whole write-up, her whole bill is to remove voter ID and verified signatures. Not necessary. So what they're after is a stealing of. And if they do that, and we, together with Trump, decide to resist this, they've actually talked about two entities in the White House. I never dreamed I would ever hear this stuff in my country. But it's real. The economical shift, when and if it happens, won't be easy. So you need to be prepared. Do you have a Mormon pantry? Do you have filters? You know, how many know what a Mormon pantry is? You know? I'm not meaning to scare you at all. I'm saying right now, because where I'm going to move from here, I'm going to stop the, this is not doomsday, but I'm going to stop this in a minute, and we're going to get into the Word of God, and I'm going to encourage you. I've lived this stuff on the mission field. I've lived within the sound of gunfire. I know God is faithful. My purpose in all this is not to scare you. My purpose is to be a realist and with what we're dealing with, know what it is that we are believing God for. A Christian Science person, not Scientology, don't confuse that. Christian Science. One of their things that so shocked me as I've dealt with several of them is in their theology, I'll skip all the behind whatever, in their theology, you're not sick. You deny, it's a perversion of faith. You deny that you're sick. Let's say you got something wrong with your arm or your elbow. Well, their theology has led them in a way, and it's interesting if you go and study what they are and how they actually started out as a spirit-filled group and believing in healing, and they got off. It's a crazy history. Anyway, where they're at right now, they will deny. So their way is to ignore, to deny symptoms, to deny that it's even there, and that is their path to being healed. That is ignorance. It doesn't work. And the healthy thing is to recognize I have an issue. I feel, I see the problem. But now I have a truth that is greater than this fact. And that truth is 2,000 years ago, He bore stripes, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, for me. And the prophet said, by His stripes we are healed. Peter, 1 Peter 2, 24, repeats, by His stripes we were, past tense, healed. So somewhere in the process, I have to acknowledge, it's just like sin. 1 John chapter 1, an aging apostle is dealing with what would eventually become Gnosticism and the many different groups that have branched off of that. Denying sin. Denying that Jesus came in the flesh and how all that rolls together. And he says in 1 John chapter 1, he says, if any man says that he has no sin, he lies and the truth is not in him. And then he says, but if we confess our sin, verse 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all sin. This is not what you do every day to keep a personal maintenance program in order to qualify for righteousness. This is, he's speaking to people who acknowledge they have sin, come into relationship with Jesus, and in that moment, He forgives and He cleanses from all sin. Isn't that awesome? If we walk, He says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses. This is an ongoing, continual. Joseph Prince likens it to a waterfall that we live under. There is a constant flow now in this fellowship. My rags for His righteousness. How many are glad for Jesus today? A cleansing flow, not a cleansing bath. You keep going back to a cleansing flow. How many are glad for the blood of Jesus today? When we deny, how many know that the word so-so or soteria, depending on the context and where the verbiage is at, for salvation, the word for salvation is an all-inclusive term. It doesn't mean just, in fact, it doesn't even mean saved from hell. In fact, I've got a shocker for you. Is there hell? Yes. But Boy, that came out. Say that too fast, that'll get you in trouble. Is there a hell? Comma, yes. Hell yes. Is there? But Paul never once mentions it. For salvation isn't about being saved from hell. Salvation is about being saved into something. That's a byproduct. That's the wake behind the boat. That's formed because we're going somewhere. I'm very glad for Jesus today. Paul talks about salvation being our complete wholeness, spirit, soul, and body. I think one of the toughest things for us to deal with, we can reach out for salvation. But in this human form, when we're hurting, when something's not right, we're so in touch with that, it's hard for us to get our mind wrapped around. And I'm so glad that whether I receive healing or not, it doesn't change His love for me and my acceptance. His love and acceptance of us should not be confused with how well we operate in faith. For He gave us His faith to respond to Him. And my righteousness and His grace for me should never be confused with the performance of faith. I'm in Him, He is in me. I am whole, I'm complete, as Jesus is to the Father, so am I. To the Father in this world, as He is, so are we in this world. This is what the Word of God says. Now in this world, He has given me His faith to do combat. And whether I win at faith or not, in a temporary setting, has nothing to do with my relationship and His love and His acceptance of me. See, we got some bad teaching about faith a few years ago. We were beat over the head with Hebrews 11:6. How many are familiar with that? Write it down, look at it in your own time, which says, "For we must believe that He is." It says, "For without faith is impossible." We must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. But the first part of that verse, which says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God." And because that verse was taken out of context, and because so many did not understand that the book of Hebrews was not written strictly to Christians, let alone postmodern believers, it was written to the Jewish nation, the holy brethren, holy as in set apart. And he's pleading with them, leave the old system and move over into Jesus. And it hit me one day in my study, I did me a little dance when it hit me, because it straightened out the book of Hebrew. The Holy Spirit whispered in my ear and said, read that again. I went back multiple times, and all of a sudden it hit me. I heard the question, if he's asking them to go into Jesus, then are they in Jesus yet? No. Woo! Did that set me free. Now it all made sense. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He's speaking of Jesus. Now, faith is. It's no longer types and shadows and things. He's here. The substance of things hoped for has arrived. Messiah is here. He is the evidence of things not seen. And you see that throughout that book. And preaching to them, he says, without faith unto salvation, you who are the chosen of God, who are now rejecting Messiah, you've got to know that there's no other way to please anymore. The temples, the temple, the slaughter of bulls and goats, and all of that has been done away. For the ultimate high priest, he reveals in chapters 9 and 10, has sat down for the first time. The work is done. And those who have believed, Hebrews declares, have been perfected. These worshipers have been perfected forever. That's your Bible. That's good news. Lift your hands all over the room. Say, I've been perfected forever. Somewhere on the inside. The outside's not caught up yet. And I got news for you. It never will. Every day you're going to need His grace. Every day His grace will be necessary as long as you're in this flesh. But let me tell you something. You're not a sinner saved by grace. You are the righteousness of God. Quit identifying with your sin. Quit identifying with the old man. There's a new man within. There's a new nature. There's no two natures. There's one called the nature of God on the inside of you. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And all those things that are in you now are of God. Now the rest of your journey is Romans 1. I beg of you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. I took care of the main thing. Now you have a responsibility. You present your bodies. A living sacrifice. Holy, set apart. Acceptable because of the work of Jesus. Unto God. Which now, because He's done the hard work, is now your reasonable service. Here's how you do that. Verse 2, be not conformed, shaped, patterned after the spirit of this age, but rather be you transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you may know, shout it out people, know the good, the acceptable, verse 3, and the perfect will of God. Somebody shout good news.
Good news.
And see, the devil's come in and separated all those truths from healing, from provision. Do you know that the same faith that you receive salvation by? See, even the way I just said it, I just messed up. That same salvation that you receive by faith, God sees no separation. I'm going to confess, it's so ingrained in me that I struggle. There's my battle. Because I have separated, saved unto righteousness. Heaven is my home. But this faith over here is... And then when I don't understand Hebrews 11:6, it gets even more complicated because now if I fail in my faith, I'm believing God for my eyes, or I'm believing God, then I feel a distance because it's impossible to please Him without faith. No, do you see it now? He wasn't talking about your gift from Jesus to live every day. He was talking about faith unto salvation to the Jewish people. For without faith unto salvation, it is impossible to please Him. But when you put your faith in Jesus, my Bible says that He is pleased with you. Otherwise, John wouldn't have said, because of His work for you, as He is, so are you. Who? Jesus, the favored one, the blessed and highly favored. We are one with Him. I'm glad for Jesus today. All right? So we don't want to confuse that. It's amazing how the devil will take what God intended for freedom and just confuse it. So I took a little bit of a Holy Ghost rabbit trail. Now let's come back to where I was at. So we struggle with this faith thing. You shouldn't struggle. Who you are and how you're loved and where you're going has nothing to do with your daily battles of faith. How do I know that? This isn't what I was going to preach on, but this is what I'm preaching on. Let's just look at it real quick. Did that help somebody in here? What I just hit? Because what will happen? You believe in God for your knees. Or whatever. I don't understand everything. Talking to Katie and Greg Sheehan again the other day, and she said, For years, since I was 13 years of age, she fell off a horse and broke her back. She lived every day in pain, debilitating pain, until one day, I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Jesus, right in here, group no bigger than this, I stopped in the middle of my sermon. Kept reoccurring, and I said, there's somebody in here. God's doing a work right now. Pain gone, done, over. Never again. Just told her, it's been several years now. She just, I don't understand those things any more than you do. I know that there are gifts. Gifts of healing, gifts of faith. All of us have access to them. You got the Holy Ghost. If you'll put yourself out there, He'll use you to bless somebody else. But you want to know something? You can't live by that. Those are gifts, ministry gifts, manifestation of the Spirit for ministry that is. But God has called us to live every day. We are the supernatural of God. And we are to live every day by faith. You can't wait on a supernatural gift. You can every day. Preventative medicine is always better than getting in a bad spot and needing a miracle. The gifts are there as God's expression, but His greater desire is that we get to know His Word and live in that strength every day. Is that clear as mud? Okay? You can believe God. Trust God on the basis of His Word. Thank God when the gifts are flowing and when things happen. And sometimes we don't know what's going on. There might have been a place that she and many others, and that's just one of many, where they were praying and they were reaching out. And there was a place in there, because I believe that God's always working. It wasn't just me. Somebody was praying. He always. There's a reciprocal aspect to this. So even in that, there is faith to receive. In that case, she had to reach out and say, that's me, I'll take it, like a child. So there still is, faith is still a thing. But listen, don't ever confuse faith with your righteousness, with your acceptance, with your belonging, with His love. You see these? I've talked about this in men's group. Andrew Womack blows my mind. In his early to mid-40s, when he started to need readers, he said, no. Not doing it. And he made it a priority and stood on it. And that rascal, I think he does it on purpose. Has a little old fine print New Testament that he reads live on the air. 70 plus years of age. With a smile you want to smack off his face. Now I got news for you. There might be areas where they were priority to me that I believe God and watch God move that He doesn't. This is access by faith. But don't ever confuse it with grace. If you're in Jesus, we please Him. It's no longer how good your faith is. And a lot of times we get that pressure off, faith will start to flow. I've seen people get a hold of that, and what they were doggedly going after through confession and prayer and getting a hold of everybody they could and every healing meeting they could get to, when they relaxed. But remember, salvation is a rest, not a work. Oh my Lord, I just opened up weeks of teaching. Okay. But does that help you a little bit? Kind of open your mind up a little bit. Anyway, where were we at? Denial. That we're going to do that. Denial. So all the way back to their way of dealing with healing is they don't understand that it's one with salvation. And just like with salvation in reference to your eternal salvation in Jesus, you had to acknowledge sin. You had to acknowledge, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. You had to acknowledge that. That's why John says, if you say you have no sin, you lie and the truth is not in you. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful. I'm really glad He's faithful and just. Chapter 2, verse 1, He says, my little children, I write unto you. This is chapter 2, verse 1. I write unto you that you sin not. Notice He called them my little children. And notice he's talking about the reality of the world they live in. I write unto you, sin not. Why? Because sin's stupid, it hurts, it has consequences, but no longer judgment from God. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, there is therefore now fear of punishment. That's what condemnation means. He says, my little, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, my little children, I write unto you, you sin not, and if you sin, you have an advocate between you and the Father. No, that's a lie of religion. You have an advocate with the Father. They're together on this deal. That's how he set it up. Meaning, he qualified the Son sent of the Father to advocate for me when I fail. I am his dear child. I'm going to fail, but it will not change who I am in him. And when we acknowledge, that's when we step into this thing. Real faith, you don't deny, you acknowledge. These issues that we're dealing with in our world and some of the stuff I just read, I guess I'm defending myself, because if we don't acknowledge the issue and are not aware of it, how do we stand in faith and believe God and trumpet with the voice of faith and stand knowing that Jesus said, two who stand in faith in agreement. I think that's pretty awesome. How about it? Three of you, how about it? So let me encourage you a little bit. So turn to Psalm 61. A Psalm of David. There's a title over mine in this Bible. It says, The Prayer of a Troubled Heart. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Put down your Bible for a minute and lift your hands all over the room. And now we know the truth about some things. There's some rough bumps ahead. But we're not just here drifting through this world without an anchor. We have an anchor. Keeps the soul. I don't remember the right words. Is that right? Keeps? Holds? Steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Founded on a rock which cannot, help me, it's been a long time, move. Grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. All over the room. When my heart is overwhelmed, one of the newer courses, when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. That is higher than I. People, we're not walking this deal alone. You believe this stuff? Go to Psalm 62, verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. Turn to your neighbor and shout it out all over the room. He is my defense. Listen, as you're going out and these things, you need to remember he is your defense. Don't you become a typical old sour, bitter, defensive Christian out there in the public. Put that big, dumb, happy grin on you. Man, so many Christians, they look like they've been chewing on persimmons. Smile. Some of us should look at ourselves in the mirror once in a while. I guess with this goatee and all this stuff going on, I'll be thinking something, and I'll look in the mirror and go, but man, you look mad. I'm not inside, but I'm like, you look like you're ready to punch somebody. I got to learn how. We don't realize it. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be, and I love this in here, greatly moved. You've been bumped around a little bit? Come on, I have. You've been bumped around a little bit? But I'm not leaving the rock. I may be moved a little, getting knocked around, but I'm not greatly moved. I'm staying home. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain of all you as a bowing wall, shall you be as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Whew, does that speak to us right now? My soul waits. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is not from Trump, not from the good old US of A. My expectation ultimately is from the Lord. Keep that Trump flag up. I want one. But we better know our expectation comes from the Lord. He only is my rock and my salvation. Again, he says it. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Turn to your neighbor and say it like you mean it. I shall not be moved. If it all goes to hell in a handbasket and we wind up getting swept out of here the wrong way, it will not matter, because ultimately we are strangers and aliens in a strange land. We are citizens of heaven. And there's a whole lot more to all of this than just this world. Keep your eye on him, on the ball. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation. Listen to what David is doing. How long has it been since you've taken these verses and encouraged yourself in the Lord? I am guilty as your pastor of rehearsing and reading way more bad information than rehearsing and meditating in this. And it affects my judgment and my ability to see what needs to be done. What did James say? Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed. Don't look at me like that. You're just as guilty as I am. And God is my salvation, my glory, the rock, verse 7, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Verse 8, trust in him at all times, ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Verse 10, trust not. This is an interesting verse. Trust not in oppression. I need to study that out. That hit me this morning. I had my presumption that I had put on it, but the more I think about that in the vein of his thinking, there's something more there. Trust not in oppression. Become not vain in robbery. I need to go back to the original. That's not telling the whole story. If riches increase, now here's one for many of us. I believe that everything, as I said from the beginning, what the devil has intended to destroy America, and we got so many prophecy gurus packing their bags to get out of here. Fight! What are you doing? Stop being a passive escapist. Fight! I don't believe God's done with our nation yet. I don't believe he's done with the world. I think there's a lot of beautiful work that needs to be done. Maybe for such a time like this. Boy, it looks massively bad. Roots of the deep state that go beyond. Trump admitted, I never dreamed it was this deep and dark. But we've been praying, haven't we? For a number of years. Well, this stuff isn't going to come out without there being an ugly scene. Why are we doomsdaying? It's not time yet. Stand and fight. Open your mouth. Speak the peace of God. Can you imagine if they're defeated in this and this thing gets broken, its back gets broken, and all of this comes to light? What could happen in this world? Maybe we're going up instead of down. And if you're listening to God and your trust is not in the current system and you're with good counsel, people who make decisions with the Lord's help could walk out of this thing massively blessed financially. Don't forget why. Set not your heart upon them. I love verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, the psalmist says. That power, woo! I'm telling you people, power belongs to the Lord. They think they have the power. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work. Chapter 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land, where no water is. Boy, that's the truth right now too, isn't it? Jeez. Lord, send rain before September. Anyway. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Verse 3, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Come on all over the house, would you lift your hands? Come on, let's take a minute. We worship you and praise you, Jesus. Honor you and thank you for who you are. Come on, let him know you are my rock. I shall not be greatly moved. To be informed is wise. To be overwhelmed is a bad choice. You are my rock and my salvation. Sholabakasiya. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands. Come on, people. Let's do it like we mean it. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. Hallelujah. We worship you. I speak clarity of thought this morning. You have the mind of Christ. Confusion. Bow down to the name that is above every name. Clarity, sharpness, decisiveness of the Holy Ghost. For you've been made unto me wisdom. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. I ain't touching out the 10-foot pole. You're awesome. You're awesome. It's interesting how that Scripture says that His Word is health to our navel, marrow to our bones, and they're just now finding out that the immune system, you don't need a mask, you need a God immune system. COVID's been around forever. It's relatively weak. This is a ploy. Wake up. You need a good immune system. A God immune system. Marrow. They now know that the marrow and the gut. That psalmist had no clue. But it's mentioned over and over again. He's speaking supernaturally to the effect of praise and of worship. They said Smith Wigglesworth clean up into his 80s. One of the greatest men of faith in modern times, maybe that we'll ever know, purportedly raised 17 or 18 people from the dead. I know people personally that knew him personally. I didn't obviously age connect. They said he would dance almost feverishly for 10 to 15 minutes, worshiping and dancing in his 80s. Strong. Dancing and worshiping by himself in his house every single morning. I feel ashamed. My first thing is the trip to the coffee pot. Get my drug. Andrew Womack said, though, that coffee, even though he's never had it, he said the Bible does say if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. So we have. Although I have pulled it down from a couple pots, Ibby, to one cup. Maybe a half more. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Verse 8, my soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth thee. That reminds me of a verse we'll go to in just a minute. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Verse 1 of 64, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from the fear of the enemies, of the enemy. Two, hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked. People, he's speaking to us. And from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who wet their tongue like a sword and bend their arrows to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. They're not shooting at just anybody. They're looking for the perfect. I don't know if you're aware of it, but all this salvation stuff means you have been perfected. The outside's a work of the Holy Ghost, but the in who you are is perfected in Him. Otherwise, He couldn't live in you because He will not cohabitate with sin. So He changed the inner man. And our job now is let the inner man affect the outer man. that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. They commune of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded, so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. Oh man, as I was reading this morning, I was like, whoa, yeah! All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the work of God. Don't you lay down yet. For they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. I got chill bumps running up and down my back right now. Now, are those cute little poems to help you cope through another day? Or are those promises that in him are yes and amen? So be it. Come on, lift your hands all over the room one more time. Jesus, I thank you, 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 I thank you. I'm not looking down, I'm looking up. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Death has lost its victory, and the grave has been denied. Jesus lives forever. He is alive, and he is my rock and my salvation. Be encouraged in him today. Once again, I didn't get to my message. We'll try again next week. But I'm loving whatever this is in between. I hope you are. I want to get there because you'll see pictures like these. A stick thrown in water makes an axe float. But the man that lost it, Elisha said, you go get it. Faith isn't sitting around waiting on something to happen. Even supernatural stuff has to be retrieved. Oh, that's deep. He's not into welfare. He's into the work of the Spirit. A type of rest that gives flow to the supernatural. You have Elijah and the widow woman. We don't know what's ahead of us. He didn't just go in and say abracadabra and she had a full house of meal. You know the story. Maybe we'll get there next week. You never know. But I want you to think about this. He says, you go mix up the last little bit you have and you give it to me. That would offend most. She took what little she had, blessed the man of God, and oil and meal flowed abundantly. Sitting on your hands, having your head in the sand, no, I don't believe anybody in here is doing that, is not right. That's denial. That's doing the Christian Science thing. Being aware is important so that you can stand and believe God. And then what do you, like he told Moses? Moses said, I ain't nobody, I can't even talk. What am I going to do? And he said to him, what do you have in your hand? A stick. That stick represents, you'll see it if we get there, the word of God in your mouth. The stick has become a sword. Words that seem significant, but when spoken in faith, move mountains. And I'm going to quit right there. It's 10 to 12. You've been blessed this morning?
Yeah.
The end of this message is it doesn't have an ending. We're just going to stop.